This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. Another nice Matt Harvey performance. Makes you feel good about where he's at. Pretty quiet at Yankee camp. Some more draft tidbits I'm sure we'll get into today. And the Knicks meltdown continues as you've got an angry Michael Beasley. So that cute story turned into a mess real quick. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm a little verklempt this morning.
Oh, really?
To be honest with you, yes. I picked up the paper. I open the inside of it, and right there is
Giancarlo Stanton.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I know.
That guy is ripped.
Usually,
that's my new inspiration. I swear to God, I'm going to try to get to be like that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I have never seen that guy.
Well, that's the first thing I do.
Come on, man. That is just ridiculous.
That's the first thing I do in the morning is I'll open up the New York Post to see what they have there.
Dude, that's a Yankee fan's, well, a female Yankee fan's dream, I would think, right? I
mean, oh, sure.
Holy crap.
I know. And usually you have, like, I don't know, someone on a red carpet or someone on a vacation, like a female on a vacation, Hawaii in a bikini. That's what they'll put there in New York Post. And today you open up, you're like, whoa.
Hey, let me just tell you something. That is not a steroid body either.
Oh, no.
That
of course
is not,
not
a steroid body, man. That is a well-chiseled, seems to be very honest type of body. And holy mackerel.
I know.
I mean, if I were pitching against that, I'd have a hard time.
No, of course.
I mean, it'd be very distracting.
If I was showering next to that, I'd have a hard time. I mean, think about how self-conscious some of these other guys are when they see Giancarlo Stanton
in
the
show. You know, I know kind of like sports is... you know, it doesn't matter if you play in St. Louis, play in New York. I think for those of us who live here, we think everything centers around New York. Everything's New York-centric.
Of course.
You come here, you're going to get all sorts of endorsements, and everything's going to be great. Madison Avenue is going to love you, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you right now, Madison Avenue opens this up right now, and you could just imagine the amount of thoughts that are going through the ad agency's minds. For this guy. This guy is, and especially if he hits 60 home runs for the New York Yankees.
Oh, my goodness. And he's not afraid to flaunt it at all. He's a guy who's never really gotten in trouble. The only time there was any sort of controversy around him was when he was talking about the steroid users and what the real home run race was.
Yeah, he went after Barry Bonds.
I mean, that was really it. That was the only time there's ever been some... So he's not like A-Rod when A-Rod came here, and A-Rod had a bunch of controversy around him all the time. I mean, this guy is like... the non-controversial Alex Rodriguez,
dude, I'm telling you
who's
right
like
now.
Absolutely perfect. I mean, he's just amazing.
I mean, you look at that and you're like, holy mackerel. This guy, you talk about, you know, a huge contract. You talk about the future. You talk about the excitement that he's going to bring to the New York Yankees. You talk about, I mean, wearing a Yankee uniform and making it look good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just as ridiculous.
I know.
This is like off the chart. But, you know, good for him and good for the Yankees. And no, it's interesting, you know, listening to all the debate and everything about the Yankees and how many wins they're going to have. And I know those guys got into it a little bit yesterday, midday of the afternoon show, talking about 109 wins for the Yankees and all that other stuff. I think conservatively, assuming they stay healthy, we're all thinking at least 100 wins.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
I make fun when I say 125, but I think we're all thinking 100 wins, and I think it's going to be this amazing race between them and the Red Sox in the American League East. And as Brian Cashman said a couple weeks ago, hey, they're the champions, right? We have to catch them. I got to tell you something right now, looking at page two right here, or three, whatever it is, they're very close to catching them, if not having already passed them, at least in the looks department.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about
now,
it.
I don't want to try to objectify, Giancarlo Stanton. I don't want to be, you know, overdo this, but I have to tell you something. That is... That's America's baseball player right there, man. Look
right,
at that
kid. Right, on the most popular team.
Look at that kid.
I mean, come on, man. It's almost like he was born to be a Yankee at some point.
It is ridiculous. So, you know, good for him and good for the Yankees and good for Matt Harvey too, man. You know, who knows? Maybe we catch a second wind here. That's all I could say. And I'm happy for him because of everything that he has been through and you know, much like David Wright, you know. We're never going to see David Wright again. I understand he's got to go through the process so he gets paid and all that other stuff. But for Matt Harvey coming back after everything that he has been through, the highs, the lows, the angry fans, you know, the models, the ribs removed, and, you know, everything that he has been through in a nice, quiet spring, you know, he has actually done a really good job of kind of trying to reclaim his spot. And as Bobby Cox said last week, he goes, hey, man, he's got it. It's back. It's back there. You can feel the mound presence and all that other stuff. Now, obviously, much like not like Steven Matz, they were not – when they did hit the ball, they hit it actually at a guy,
yeah.
which is key here, I think, getting people out. But mid-90s fastball, he pitched three innings. He only threw 42 to 46 pitches, whatever it was. He was just really solid. And I'm not sitting here and telling you he was blow away solid.
No, he was. I mean, he was
but
good.
He was just a solid right. – Looked like he knew what he was doing. Looked like he had the good mound presence that you want. And he was accurate. He was controlling his pitches. So, you know, maybe we have our own guy, Dreamboat, back.
Yeah, maybe. And I sort of struggle at how much I should react to these things, like with Steven Matz and how bad he's been and Matt Harvey.
I would react to that. I would react to that because, you know, you don't.
Well, I think both of these, it's okay to really take each one of these starts and overblow it a little bit because of what these guys have been through. This is not your natural guy goes out there, makes 30 starts a year. He's going to give you 15 wins. His ERA is normally in the same range. That's not the situation with these guys. So when people say, oh, it's just a start or it's just two starts, yeah, you're right. It is two starts in spring training, but it also shows you a baseline of where these guys are right now. And Matt Harvey last year in spring training was a mess, and he's not that now. And, of course, you know how his season ended up last year
and
everything else.
At the end of the day, it's a second chance or a third chance, whatever you want to call it.
And he's going into a walk year, too, which is perfect for him.
Well, for him it is, you know, but unfortunately for us Met fans, you know, if he has a great year, unlikely that he stays here. Right, it's very unlikely. I don't want to speak for him, but the things have not gone well for him for 3 years here.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he was still around.
And just the way the whole thing's gone down and all that other stuff. So quietly, it's a reclamation project, but it's also, you know, I think there's a personal pride that's associated there that he has been dealt with over the last 2.5 years. A lot of crap thrown his way, and how many people last year said he's done, he's never going to be back, he's over with, get rid of him, and all that other crap. And Sandy Alderson, to his credit, I don't think he really had any other choice but to see this thing play out because a lot of these guys go through this. You know, a lot of these guys between the ages of 24 and 27 have these problems. They have the Tommy John surgery. Now, he had thoracic outlet syndrome that you would never expect that to happen. But now, all of a sudden, it seems like he's on the backside of it. You know, and with a tempered enthusiasm, I watch and I say, okay, you know, we got something here. And right now, I would say that they have – 4 starting quality pitchers.
Yeah.
Right, or quality starting pitchers, I should say. And that's including Vargas, and that 5th spot is wide open, whether it be Wheeler, Lugo, Gazelman, Matz, whoever it may be. They're all going to get their chances, of course. They're all going to pitch at some point this season. But it seems to me like at least 4 in the rotation seem to be somewhat solid right now.
Yeah, and I think that the reasonable expectation for them, if they're not totally decimated with injuries again, and I know that it's sort of annoying to keep saying that if, is a wild card spot. I mean, I think that's a reasonable expectation for them with the money that they've spent and the guys coming back. Is that, why would that not be if you look around the National League and the division that sucks so bad? You said you got to beat the Marlins 19 times. You got to go 19-0 against
right,
the Marlins.
Exactly. The only reason I would temper that is because of the age of some of the significant players.
Okay,
and,
but
you know, I'm not. It's one thing to have one or two guys, you know, north of 30. It's another thing to have 5 or 6 guys north of 30 and guys that you're counting on. But there is a nice little story happening also down there in Port St. Lucie, and that's Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not he's going to be holding a spot for, you know, Conforto, but he's actually, you know, he is showing himself to be the guy that they did not want to trade.
Right, couple of home runs so far, sitting over in the high 300 right. so far in spring.
You remember when Sandy Alder says, look, we're not trading Brandon Nimmo. You remember he said, oh, it's really nice to know that they really like me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, also he used him in a joke. Remember that? I mean, he also used Brandon Nimmo as a punchline.
Right, but Brandon Nimmo's not a joke right now. He's not.
No, he's not, but I'm just saying that he didn't include him in the deal for Andrew McCutchen. And he said that he didn't want to give him up.
I like it.
Yeah, which is okay. I would have rather.
Don't you like what the kid's doing?
Yeah, I do, but I would have rather had Andrew McCutchen. I don't think I would have held on to Brandon Nimmo and not gotten Andrew McCutchen
all right,
personally.
Time out. Well, let's find out. Let's give him a little time yet.
Well,
right?
We have, haven't we?
But the nice thing for him is, like we were saying about Andujar for the Yankees. You know, this is an opportunity for young guys to really show their mettle, put themselves on a map, if you will, and, you know, let the team know, hey, I'm here. And for Nimmo, he's in the right spot right now. And the reason he's in the right spot is because Conforto's hurt, and he's taking the most of, and making the most of this opportunity. I don't suspect that he's going to be the batting leader.
Yeah.
I don't suspect that he's going to knock in 90 runs.
You just need him to be a solid fill-in until Conforto comes back healthy.
Why can't he be our Daniel Murphy? Why can't he be our Justin Turner? Why can't he be that guy that the Mets have, for so long, you know, had grown up in their organization and then ship off somewhere else. And when they ship him off somewhere else,
turn into like an MVP candidate.
Well, we knew what Daniel Murphy was. We didn't really expect Justin Turner to turn into into for the Dodgers. But I mean, this may be that guy. You know what I mean? Let's keep that guy. He's a young guy. We want him on the roster. We want him on the team.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of Juan Lagares getting hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm sick and tired of Cespedes and his quads and his hams.
He's going to be great this year. I'm telling you right now, Cespedes is going to be great this year.
I'm sick and tired of plantar fasciitis in right field.
Yeah, but
I'm sick and tired of the guy hasn't even played here but like 3 weeks. And, you know, they're already talking about Adrian Gonzalez in the back and all
that. Well, that's a concern, man.
Yes, exactly.
First base is a major concern.
Well, you know what? This is what happens. You mark my words.
I will mark them.
That guy's going down. I'm telling you, he's going down. Somewhere along the line, he's getting hurt.
You're talking about Adrian Gonzalez, yeah.
And what I would do, and I know that they told Jay Bruce when he signed here, this is the deal. You're going to play some first base. Now, if he's got plantar fasciitis and it's really bad, I don't know how bad it is. It's a little bit easier to play first base with that kind of injury as opposed to right field. If Nimmo's playing good, Conforto comes back, could you see where you see Jay Bruce at first base? You see Nimmo out in the outfield with Conforto and Cespedes. That I can see. And Lagares is playing, or the swing guy, or going back and forth between Lagares and Nimmo. I don't know. That I could see that happening.
Well, yeah, I could see.
Especially if Tom Smith is basically, you know, persona non grata.
Well, I could see it happening, too, because neither one of those guys are healthy enough to be able to be the first baseman right now.
Right.
I mean, Dom Smith is a total unknown. He's someone who showed up late already. He was awful last year when he got an opportunity.
You know, you tend to scream, like, between 6 and 6.
What do you mean?
Doesn't he kind of scream a little bit between 6 and 6?
I'm not screaming.
I think he's just excited to be on. Let's get some topics rolling.
Yeah, what do you want me to do? I don't think I'm screaming. Yeah,
he's got a little scream going on between 6 and 6:30. You calm down after 6:30.
So you want me to calm down now?
No, I don't know what it is. I'm just trying to figure out what it is.
Well, I think we're starting the show. I'm excited to start the show. I don't know. What do you want from me? I took a 5-hour energy back there. I'm feeling good.
Oh, see, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, if I pop
that. You got to learn to control that.
Oh, so you don't want me to be passionate about Dom Smith and his quad? All right, I'll back off a little bit.
I sense that you're kind of like yelling.
I'm not. Well, I mean, I was projecting.
But you get that announcer voice.
No, I was not in that announcer voice. Get the hell out of here.
You know how that your friend says, you have a little of that going on.
No, he's more,
Yeah, well, you have a little of that going on, too.
All right, so you'd like me to do what exactly so I don't upset you?
I just want you to be aware of it.
I'm fine. I think it's okay. I think everything I'm doing is okay. I mean,
you want to be okay, or you want to be great? Are you just happy to be okay? I mean, what are we talking about here?
No.
Are we talking about being great,
right,
or are we talking about being okay?
I walked into that. That's not what I meant.
Now, what are we doing here?
That's what I meant. Honestly. It's not what I meant.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
That's not what I meant. I did paint myself into that, that corner. But that's not what I meant. All right,
who's that social studies teacher that sent that big congratulatory note to you?
Oh, that was Mrs. Havens.
Yeah, Mrs. Havens does not want you to be okay. Mrs. Havens.
That's not what
I
meant by
like
that. You're running with it now. See now. Now you're confusing me because I was all fired up. I was into something, and now you're telling me to do more, do less. I don't know what the hell you. you want. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
I just feel like you tend to yell a little bit like between 6 and 6:30. That's all. Okay. I mean, it's good. It kind of wakes me up a little bit, but it tends to like gives me a little bit of an earache.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
a little bit. It gives you an earache.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm yelling that much between 6 and 6:30. You're getting earaches now.
Something like that.
Okay, well, yes. I mean, but...
But see, like, you know how you're talking right now?
You want me to be quieter?
No, I just have a nice conversation. You don't have to yell at me.
I mean, I don't know. It's a morning show. You got to project and be fired up. You want me to just slow down and talk quietly and whisper?
Is that what they taught you at Hofstra?
I mean, no. They didn't teach me anything at Hofstra, to be quite honest.
Knock it off.
What?
Were you just jerking
around? Knock it
there?
Off. I mean,
were
I went there. It was my experience. I can say what I want
there?
About it.
What were you doing?
What's
you,
that?
You get out of it what you put into it. Did you not put anything into it?
No, I put plenty into it. I think it worked out.
How
for
did
me.
You not learn anything?
I didn't learn a lot. I think there was one class where I think I learned some stuff, and then the rest of it really didn't
really
work.
I learned a lot at Maryland.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, you had a different college experience.
Had a great college experience.
Well, that's good. I did not.
My first year was not great.
But what happened?
You know, I had an English professor who hated football players.
Oh, okay.
And I had written two or three papers. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm Ernest Hemingway because I'm not. But, you know, I put time and effort into it. And there was a graduate assistant on the football staff. And the reason he was there, he loved football, but he also was an English major. And he graduated from Columbia here. So you think an English major, Columbia, oh my God, that's a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually have him proofread my papers, make sure that the grammar, the punctuation, the spelling, you know, we didn't have spell check and all that crap back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do all that stuff manually. You had to white out and all that crap. So I had to get through all of that. And Eddie, I can't believe that you're making fun of me.
So, all right, so you get to the point of the story?
Yeah, so
I gave
like three papers into the English professor.
Right.
And all three papers came back D, D+, plus, and D.
All right, and you expected to do better than that.
Well,
it was only because you were a football player?
After having this whole thing proofread and everything else. the GA that we had was like, I can't believe this. This is brutal. There's something wrong here. Why she's giving you these bad grades? So we took it to the English, what do they call the provost or whatever the hell it is? I don't know. The English dean, the dean of the English
the
department.
Dean of the English department.
Some people have a way with words. Other people, not have way.
That's right. I didn't have way. I actually think I did have way. So I had all three papers changed to B's, and she got suspended.
Really?
Yeah, because the English dean realized that what was going on.
How about that?
That's what I'm saying. You don't mess around.
Amazing story. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to fight for yourself. You know, so I had to fight for myself. And basically, if I would have just taken it, who knows what would have happened.
Okay. And the point of this was?
I got something out of my college experience,
well, that's
you jackasses.
Well, that's fine. It's good for you. I mean, I got a little bit out of it, too, but not as much as you.
All right, 617 on the fan.
It's a great story, man.
Boomer and Geo coming to you from the Investors Bank Studios here at WFAN. And seems like Eddie's all jacked up today, too, as well.
Ready to go.
There you go.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Do you put your music up really high in your office before the show to deter people from talking to you and going into the office?
No, I think it doesn't work.
It's sort of like a repellent in a way.
It doesn't work. I play aloud to get you jacked up to get ready to roll.
I mean, that's
fine. A Whole Lot of Love this morning by Led Zeppelin. You were all jacked up.
I was, and then you yelled at me for being too jacked up. So it was a little confused. Mixed messages.
5 hour energy. You have to be able to, like, you know, get through that. You just got to calm through it and just make it last.
Well, it's just funny. Like Eddie, put this up loud. This is what it's like in the morning.
Boomer, there's a remote in May. Can you do it? May 15th. Boomer!
What's that? I can't hear you, Mark. I mean, you definitely do that on purpose.
100% I do it on purpose. Yeah, but I also made him give me a high five today when he came in. We should actually do that for the show.
Every morning, high five?
No. I'll show people how I asked Mark to give me a high five this morning.
Did he climb on a ladder or something?
Exactly.
He did like the vertical jump thing.
Yeah,
right?
NFL combine.
I wanted to do an NFL combine thing with him. I think he got up about 2 inches. I'm just picturing this.
We could film that during the break if you think he's up for it again.
Yeah, I think he'd be up for it again. You know, the interesting thing is that he gets up and runs 3 miles every morning.
That's really impressive.
Religiously.
Really impressive. I mean, he never misses, no matter what the weather is like. Tomorrow morning, when we get hit with this nor'easter again, he will be out there running. And I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, that dedication to fitness. I mean, it's a little bit weird. He also listens to the overnight show while he's doing that. It's crazy.
He doesn't get much sleep.
He runs the place. Why wouldn't he?
I think he's back there sleeping right now. I think this is when he gets asleep right now.
No, he'll be running in here any second talking about
it. And if he does,
this.
I'll get him to do a high five.
Yeah. I can't.
Go get him out and let Jerry do his update.
How much of a vertical leap, though, do you think most of us have?
Oh, I got nothing.
You made fun of 2 inches.
I can't. I mean, no, I bet you Chernoff's got a little bit more than I've got
right now. It's not easy.
I mean, seriously.
You got none.
I got nothing. No, there'd be no way. Like a boulder. I'm not getting up off the ground. No shot.
I feel like I could have a good vertical leap.
You probably would. I
mean, you weigh nothing.
Yeah.
You float.
Like, I got that fat guy skinny legs thing going. I have very
skinny legs?
I've got dainty ankles and skinny legs.
You're like Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yes. Yes, I've got that going on. Skinny arms, skinny legs, big fat torso.
You could wear skinny jeans.
I could. I would look...
Really? What's your waistline?
It's a... right now, it's a 36, but... I mean, the legs are skinny. The waistline, like the hips and the belly and everything. But the legs are skinny. Like, look at them. Like, hold on.
Skinny jeans.
We really have to look at
your
hairy legs.
Like, I always wonder, when you do the waistline, is it across the belly button to, like, the widest part of your belly, or is it just under there?
The hips.
It depends on the pants.
You know, there's no definition there. You know what it is? Jeans. It looks like your ankle goes all the way up to your pelvis, and it's just like the one straight thing. There's no definition, no nothing.
Right, I know. It's a skinny leg, man. So that's what it is. So that skinny leg trying to jump up with all that weight in the torso, I would be the worst. I bet you Eddie could do at least a couple more inches of me on a vertical leap, vertical jump.
A couple more inches?
I bet you he could.
I don't know about that. He might be able to do more.
A couple is...
You know what? I'll go out there and I'll draw a few lines on the pole out there, and then we can see who can jump up and touch the line. All right?
Done.
So you want to go get Chernoff, and then we'll do the high five in here so people can see it on CBS Sports Network. While Jerry does his update.
But don't we have to factor in height, too? We have to factor that in. Because we can't just be all
right, this is supposed to be the vertical. Some people are taller than others.
Right.
Well, I mean, we'll do that. I mean, I'll have it. You know, we'll do probably like
three inches,
5 inches, and 8 inches. Because you guys are not going to go any higher than that.
No, no way.
And you're certainly not any longer than that. Can you go get him?
Jesus. You isolate that, Eddie? I think he's working on it right now. All right, we're brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Well, here's what we know about the Mets from yesterday. They beat the Tigers fine, but Matt Harvey went 3 scoreless innings. He allowed a couple of hits, a walk, and a strikeout. He knows it wasn't a clean start, but he battled, and that's the good thing.
I was just happy to get in some trouble and be able to get out of it.
Have you felt like your old self at all?
I'm not. Reverting to anything that's in the past, any mechanics, anything. This is completely new year, like I've said.
Now, that having been said, Mickey Callaway will look back. He looked at old video. He was asked about that, which I thought this is a very interesting answer.
He had a good curveball yesterday, boy.
Good curveball.
Really good
curveball.
Good curveball.
Here's Callaway, who looked back, and he knows, at least believes he knows what happened and when.
August 8th, I think it was, in 2015, is where I saw him start to slow down. And I realized he had a good postseason that year. But I'm wondering if that mechanical change, you know, led to some issues.
He pinpoints it to the day after watching all this video, which
is great.
Pretty
so
cool.
Chernoff just got here. We'll get the Chernoff in a second, and we'll show you how he gave me a high five this morning. Mark, you ready for this?
Oh, sure.
Are we doing this right here?
No, yeah, we'll do it in a second, but okay. Finish.
All right, here's Callaway. So if you found the issue, what was the issue?
All of his tempo really slowed down. He started probably just like lifting his knee instead of kicking his leg out.
Can it be that simple? I mean, I guess it is. We're going to find out
anyway.
This
is what Callaway's here for, right?
Yes,
is all this
absolutely.
Stuff. So
it's
a good thing. I mean,
it's mechanics.
Right. It is. It's mechanics, man. It's mechanics and it's love. Those are the two things he's here
love
for.
Love and mechanics.
Yeah.
Here's kind of like Chernoff with us. Love and mechanics.
Now, Brandon.
Not as much love.
Yeah, the love of mechanics. Can you do a freaking remote?
Brandon Nimmo did homer in this game. Callaway says he's striking fear into opposing pitchers now.
Pitchers know he's going to be patient, and if they groove one now, he's going to attack it. It becomes a dangerous combination.
And I think also we owe Giancarlo Stanton an apology. Remember he had the trouble with the sun over the weekend, and we played the clips? Fine, fair enough. So Jose Reyes had a double yesterday. Why? Ball was lost in the sun. I take you to Tom McCarthy and the Phillies broadcast. This is happening over and over.
Fly ball center field. And Granit shading his eyes, having trouble with it. It's going to drop for a hit. And Cesar's at second base.
How many times are we going to see this?
It's more, I think, this year than we've seen.
Now,
past
this happened
years.
Two more times in the Phillies game. So for Giancarlo Stanton, a couple of times, fine. But this is, I guess they have a very bright, high sun in Florida this year. I don't know what's going on, but this has become an issue.
Don't they have sunglasses?
Boomer, have you ever seen this in spring training before?
No, but you know, I see that one sunglass commercial on TV, and they're always saying, like, you could look directly into the sun.
You're not looking directly
into
the sun.
No,
you
can't.
Those tacked sunglasses, you ever see those out with that really powerful flashlight?
How do major leaguers not have them?
I don't know. Those sunglasses and let's check it out.
Get those glasses where you could stare at the eclipse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe those will work. But, I mean, shade it with your glove. It's been happening. I mean, the sun's been around.
Well, it's the angle
in
the glove, of course. Exactly.
Turn off. Come over here.
Right, here we go.
You ready? Come here.
Okay. All right. So, right now, Mark is going to give Boomer a high five.
Ready?
Well, but he's jumping
Jesus,
like the combine.
Boomer's like twice his size.
Okay,
so
that wasn't
right
bad.
One more time. Said, no, let you,
check the vertical, Greg.
Really do something special here.
All right,
this is
here we go.
Like the NFL combine.
All right, so Chernoff is about to jump again. He's getting off.
I'm the tiny tot of the kilowatt.
He's about to jump. Really nice purple sweater.
Yes,
very
and he
Easter-ish.
Matches the shirt underneath too.
It's very Easterish.
I noticed that. Yes,
like a little chicky.
All right, that was pretty good. He got all right, out.
Not bad. His vertebral might be bigger than yours.
No, bad, I think I could do better than that.
I am the tiny tot of the
kilowatt.
You guys under it.
How much taller are you than him?
Oh, a lot.
Always go stand back to back.
Yeah.
Don't go belly to belly. Just go back to back.
Belly to belly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty big.
I'm about 5'5".
How was that?
Yes.
I didn't say go belly to belly. I said go back to back.
I didn't want to go back to back.
You changed.
Why would you want to go belly to belly?
I don't know.
Honestly.
Well, who cares? It's fine. It's not like my belly is so far out. It's not like we were touching.
Yeah, he was about a yard away from me.
The little yard and a half. I'm telling you. Now I'm getting.
Thank you, Mark.
Now I'm feeling like the adrenaline flow.
There you go.
And now I'm getting angry. So now I could watch. I'm going to fly now. What do you need me to hit? I'm hitting it. But anything in this building, I will go and get it.
What do you mean, go and get it?
Oh, I'm telling you, just give me a realistic thing.
To jump up and get?
To jump up and touch, and then I will get it.
All
come
right,
on.
Get, let's keep bring, your upbringing. I'll find something.
Bring
great.
It.
The Mariners signing Ichiro to a one-year contract. Cavaliers Pistons. One of the best calls of all time. Cavaliers Pistons last night. Cleveland finding it again.
Nance has 13. Drummond, the NBA's leading rebounder, 7. LeBron with a three-year transition. And knocks it down. LeBron James now is 5 of 6 from deep. He has 29. The Cavaliers have taken a 71-54 lead.
That is John Michael on Cavs Radio. LeBron had 31. Cleveland beats Detroit 112-90. Also in this game, Larry Nance Jr. went for 22 points, double-digit rebounds as well as Cleveland gets the victory. The Spurs beat the Grizzlies 198. Memphis, you want to talk about tanking?
Yes.
They're tanking. They've lost 14 straight.
Wow.
Tony Parker had 23 in that game. Blazers over the Lakers 108-103, 39 for Damian Lillard. Tonight, the Nets are at Golden State. We'll have that on the Fan at 10:15. The Knicks are in Portland. Michael Beasley, I don't like the way this was written. So the headline is, essentially,
I don't call the plays.
And I think that looks terrible
in
print. But if you actually read the article and you kind of understand how the Knicks are playing, they ask him why he's not been more involved, why he's not scoring more. And the whole point is, we're not moving the ball. The ball's not in my hands.
But that's what he said a few days
ago. I know that. So what he is saying is we need to actually play better team basketball as opposed to the way I think it's been portrayed that he's criticizing.
Remember the first 25 games of the year, we were saying, man, this is a great brand of basketball. They're passing the ball, they're sharing the ball and everything else. And
so where'd it go?
Well, Porzingis left. Right. And
It can't be all Porzingis, though. It
I know.
Can't be.
All right, can you touch that light up there?
Well, that one right there?
Yeah, that one right there.
Easy.
Oh, that's easy, huh?
That one or
don't
that
knock
one?
It off the thing. You just got to touch it.
easy.
Well, that's the first thing. Let me see. That's the first thing. Okay, that's good. Okay.
Barely any effort in that.
All right. I just want to make sure you feel good about yourself before we really start getting into the hard stuff.
The hard stuff. All right.
Iona beat Fairfield in the MAC championship. 83-70.
Hear that call? Harris played that call. It must have been.
Which one? I only have the Gary Cohen one. Is there another one?
There was an Iona one.
Oh, do we have the?
And it sounded like a kid who just had gone through puberty.
Well,
who
made the call? This is three in a row for Iona now. The tournament, right?
Boy, so good
for the Gales. I love it.
I don't want to make fun of him. I'm just saying that.
Want me to play it?
I mean, he sounded like a really young kid. Yeah.
The Gales have done it. Not one, not two, but three straight years as the MAC elite. Tim Clouse continues his reign of dominance. The dynasty endures. The Gales are your 2018 MAC champions.
No good for
reign of dominance.
Right?
Reign of
Jonathan
dominance.
Stanko on Iona Insider.
John
IC.
Stanko?
That's his name. ICGales.com.
Okay.
He's a kid, Eddie.
Was it one of the students? Or
I would certainly think so, yeah. It was on icgales.com.
All right, yeah.
So
nice.
Now he's going to be calling tournament games.
That's awesome.
How great is that?
That is really cool. I'm just saying, sounded young.
That's how Jerry started. Look what he's turned his thing into.
Right.
He started on Columbia Internet Radio. Remember
no,
that,
No, I did not, actually. We were on the radio for 5 years.
You started on Internet
no,
Radio.
No, I did
yes,
not.
Did.
We started on the radio, you
football,
jackass.
Football.
Wrong.
Football. Internet
Boomer,
Radio.
Boomer, you're wrong. For 5 years, we were on, we were on 6:20 a.m. and 9:70 a.m., and then the last 5 years, they went Internet only.
Oh,
and of
so
course,
you are on the internet. So I knew you were on the internet.
You just
somewhere.
Lied. You said we started on the internet.
Well,
we didn't.
Sorry.
We actually reverted to the internet.
I take
What's
away
worse?
The started.
Well,
you actually were on the internet like they were.
We were for 5 years, yes. That is correct.
And sorry, Jerry.
And they gave me a raise.
But you were on the internet.
That is true. Correct. And so are you.
The World Wide Web.
Don't you do like SI videos online?
I used to do SI videos.
So you were a web star too.
And they sold them to Meredith or something else. I don't know what the hell happened.
Oh, sorry about that.
What happens? These execs start selling things off and, you know, then the assets go and then everything else goes. And then you go back to real radio and you go back to real television.
What happened? But it was good while you had it.
Right, exactly.
This is pretty cool. The Cowboys placed the franchise tag on DeMarcus Lawrence. Now, a lot of times guys get a franchise tag and it will sit there. I want a long-term deal.
Oh,
I'm not
sitting
there.
Oh, ticked off about it. I'm not going to show up to camp, all that stuff.
DeMarcus Lawrence, I think, had a party. So he made, if I read this correctly, $1 million last year and had an amazing season. He's getting $17 million for 1 year now.
$17.143 million.
Unbelievable.
So, and I got to tell you, he was probably in the starting blocks waiting to get there to go sign it.
Absolutely.
Good for him,
he
though.
Signed
no,
it immediately.
Good for him. That's, I hate the tags.
And
I
a good interview, too.
I will say this, that if the NFLPA wants to do something, get rid of these stupid tags. And then let's open
That's
free
fine.
Agency to the best players in the league.
Absolutely. And the Le'Veon Bell one's going to be really interesting.
Right, he's expecting it today.
Yeah.
And I understand there's only about a handful of these guys that go through this. So really, what's the big difference? And they're really getting paid a lot of money. But screw that, man. Let them become free agents and see what somebody would pay for them.
Right. And then when you hear the player complain about it, they do have a legitimate gripe because of the injuries
okay,
in
well,
the NFL.
We'll play Thursday night and everything else. But we want you to rip up the franchise and the
That's fair.
And all these transition tags and all this other crap, and we want to become free agents. I doubt the owners will ever let that happen, but you know, at the end of the day, this is how the players make more money, by allowing a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence to become a free agent when he's in the midst of his prime.
No doubt. Just a couple of other things quickly. Antonio Cromartie did announce his retirement. Canucks beat the Islanders 4-3 in overtime.
Is that seven in a row now?
Seven straight, yes. This isn't overtime, so they did get a point, but yes, seven straight losses. Here's Chris King's call on the Brendan Leipzig game winner.
Immobilier loses the puck. Leipzig shoots and scores! Brendan Leipzig on a loose puck that rolled off the stick of Anthony Immobilier. Draws Yaroslav Halak down and out and flips it home. The Vancouver Canucks win it 4-3 in overtime.
That is a tough one.
That's everybody
Halak looks
sees
like
it.
Me on Friday night there. Look at that.
You know, everybody. Yeah, well, he's not expecting that to happen, but
well,
the problem with that is that it's an overtime. It's 3-on-3, and everybody sees it.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. So they did lose. John Tavares did score in the loss. Also tonight, the Devils host the Canadiens, One Jersey Network, and the Rangers take on the Jets.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Boomer!
That's every morning in Boomer's office. Yeah, no, the nice thing is, though, it's like ever since I put the couch in there, now it seems like everybody just wants to come in and mosey in and just settle in on the couch and have a conversation.
Well, this is your own fault because you've said open door policy, man. Whatever
cool
you need.
I'm good with it. I don't care.
Yeah, you're good with it, but every day, like, you got to walk through the gauntlet to get in here, man.
I don't care. It's okay.
I got Amy over here. I got Zach over here. I got Chernoff over here. Yeah, man, I tell you. And then you get all upset about it.
That's my radio posse right there, man.
Oh, God.
We're going to kick your ass, too. We're like a gang. We're like the WFAN radio gang.
I'm picturing like a West Side Story scene with you, right. Zach, and Amy Lawrence. Ba-na-na-na.
Right. Exactly.
And Harris Allen.
Celebratory cream pie.
My man Tony Page.
Oh, right? Yeah. That would be great.
Everybody's got a conversation with somebody, right?
You're right. Well, of course. I mean, and people, there are people that will go to you. Because talking to you is an important thing.
No, it's
for
not.
Them.
So I always, when I see Tony, because I know Tony loves boxing.
Boom is a jerk.
Yeah, thank you. So when Tony loves boxing, so I always talk to him about, you know, I went to the fight on Saturday night. So did he. Yeah. He went to the Garden.
Oh, okay. He went to the HBO one to see Kovalev,
yeah, so
right?
I went to, obviously, the Barclays Center and Showtime.
Showtime, yeah, which is a better product. Yes, it's a better product, too.
And then, you know, so I have a nice conversation with him about, you know, boxing. And then when I see Harris, it's a nice conversation always about the Rangers.
Celebratory cream pie.
That's what I'm talking about.
Zach, our production guy, is a conversation about what exactly?
Super Z!
Whatever he wants to talk about, I never get in
the way. And Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio is a conversation about what exactly?
Well, she's actually running in one of our running events.
Oh, nice.
For Team Boomers.
Well,
so
good for her. There you go. That's a little conversation piece.
Appreciate it. Maybe you should run in it.
No, thanks.
Why not?
Well, I could support in any other way.
I think it's something to shoot
for. A nice donation, maybe?
No. I don't need your money. I need your time. I need your effort. I need you to shoot for something.
You can have
something.
My time. I just don't know about running. Can I do anything else? Can I give the runners drinks?
Look, here's the deal.
Gatorade cup off?
It's still a few months away.
Oh, come
and
on.
And I think it's something for you to shoot for.
You just got me in the goalie equipment out there.
I've done it.
You got me playing. I mean, you've done it. You're a professional athlete.
Yeah, but I wasn't a professional runner.
I'm like a calzone with legs. Like, I can't do this.
You could do this. It's something to shoot for. Ugh. Anyway, by the way, you know, so the hashtag fake news was at it again, coming out of the combine in Indianapolis in regards to Kirk Cousins. Oh, he's going to Minnesota. He's already made up his mind. It's the Jets. I got to go to plan B and plan C.
I don't think anybody, said he made up his mind.
Well, everybody said that the Jets are out of it, right? I mean, that's basically was the tinge to almost all of the articles.
Okay.
You know, and then comes the reality of all of it, that everybody's still in it, very much in it. And, you know, these teams can't talk to him because he still is after today, I guess, if the Redskins don't tag him. Because remember, they were threatening that and all
They're
that other crap.
They're not going to do it.
He will then become an unrestricted free agent, and then the tampering period starts. And, you know, he said all along that he wanted to take his time and go through this process, meet the coaches, talk to the teams, and try to figure out which is the best fit. Now, all of us could probably say, go to the Vikings. They're a ready-made team to win. But I would also say you got Matt Patricia now in Detroit. You got a healthy Matthew Stafford. You got Aaron Rodgers coming back. You got the Green Bay Packers, who have gone through a number of changes on their coaching staff and in their front office. They're saying now for the first time that they are going to be very active in free agency, and I think that's also to keep Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. He's going to want some support. So maybe the Vikings aren't going to be that team that's going to win that division.
Well, you're right, of course. I don't even think it matters who the quarterback is unless they get Aaron Rodgers. Right. I think that Aaron Rodgers coming back means that the Packers are going to win the division.
And how many times we've seen, right, all these different teams that make the playoffs one year basically fall off the next year, except for, of course, the Patriots.
Right. I mean, I don't have great thoughts about the Vikings next year because I don't know who their quarterback is going to be. I actually feel better about Case Keenum coming back than I would Kirk Cousins being that quarterback.
I would, too, and that's why, you know, if you're a Jet fan right now, you know, you read a few days ago, there's no way he's coming to the Jets and all that stuff. That nothing could be farther from the truth than that statement right there.
Well, I mean, I read it as that the Jets feared he would go to the Vikings, not that he had made up his mind already. You know, that they thought that he was the better situation. They feared he might go there.
All right, so here's the deal. The Jets can give him the most. The Jets and Cleveland, if Cleveland wanted to go down this road, if Cleveland really wanted to go down this road, they could sign him. Draft Saquon Barkley, trade that fourth pick, get more picks. They could do that if they wanted to. It doesn't seem like
but
they're going to do
that. But
he's
not going there either.
Doesn't seem like they're going to do that. So that would leave you, obviously, a few other teams. And I'm telling you, there's going to be one team in the mix that nobody's writing about. Just somehow, some way, they're going to get in the mix. And I don't know who that team is. You know, could it be Buffalo, somebody like that?
Buffalo, Miami, you mentioned.
Yeah, it could be Miami. I don't know if Miami would have the money. That's the problem. And, you know, they're trying to trade or actually exploring trades for Jarvis Landry. And I would think that that would have to happen relatively quickly because if they want money for free agency, they're going to have to make that decision, right? So I just, for the Jet fan out there that was a little bit worried about possibly already have lost, you know, losing Kirk Cousins, that's not the case. That is not the case. Hey, look, their coaches, Jeremy Bates, Rick Dennison, and Mike Maccagnan are going to have to pull the full court press on him, and they're going to have to give him a deal where he basically can't refuse it.
Yeah, I still think that they're probably third on that list, though.
But if you are the Jets, what do you have that nobody else has? The money to give him, to make him.
But does he really seem like that guy, though? Does he seem like that guy? Well, now, I know he's worked this system to the point where he has taken every last dollar, and he's found a way to do that.
Good for him.
Which is great. I'm not knocking that at all. But my point is, does Kirk Cousins look like the guy who's going to take the most money over the better situation?
It all depends on what the most money is. If the most money's $500,000 a year, I would say no. But if the most money is, you know, $100 million guaranteed over 3 years, the first 3 years of the contract, hell yeah. I mean, how do you turn that down?
Well, I think you turn it down because he doesn't want to be in quarterback purgatory in a franchise that can't get over the hump because most of their cap is sucked up with his exorbitant salary.
You know, I think he's a really good kid. He tweets out the picture of him and Larry Fitzgerald. So, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's working me, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, he's a great recruiter and all that stuff. He knows what's going on. And I think anybody in his situation should do exactly what he is going to do, and that is visit all the different opportunities.
Yeah, and he said he was going
to
do that.
Right. And he also said that part of him feels like he does owe it to the rest of the league to get as much money as he can. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, anybody who says, you know, he shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be a pig at the trough and all this other crap, screw that.
No, I understand
but finally, you got an NFL player. Like, I was just talking about DeMarcus Lawrence and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, we're talking about two different things, though. I'm saying, yes, good for him. That's great. He should get every last dollar. However, he seems like a guy that is going to go to a situation that he feels comfortable in winning because he cares about that. And if that means he's going to leave several million dollars on the table to do so, he's going to do that. I don't see him taking the A-Rod Texas Rangers deal. I don't see him doing that. I see him going to a place, and all those other places, by the way, they'll be able to pay him a significant amount of money.
I'll tell you, when he comes and sees the Jet facility, and he sees where he can live over there in New Jersey and the taxes he can pay, it's going to be really hard to turn that down. I'm just telling you.
Wait, hold on. The taxes he can pay?
Well, no matter where he goes, in this situation, Minnesota has a very high tax rate. So does New Jersey. If he remains a Michigan resident, I told you there's a reciprocal tax thing there that he would pay less money.
What about Colorado?
Colorado's got a high tax state too, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, where he goes, as long as he's not going to, you know, Seattle or any of the Texas teams or the Florida teams, and he's not going to play for the Raiders, of course, when they move to Las Vegas. At the end of the day, he's going to end up paying a lot in taxes. Doesn't matter. But I would say what the Jets have is they have the ability to pay him.
Yeah, I know, but other
and
teams...
And they also have what I believe is the urgency to pay him.
Right, and they will. They're going to make him an offer, and a ridiculous offer.
But that's what you have as your advantage. If you are the Jets, that's your advantage, because I don't think these other teams have that kind of cash or that kind of loot laying around where they can actually, you know, go toe-to-toe with the Jets.
Here's another interesting thing that came out yesterday. Now, I don't trust a lot of information coming out of the Browns because they have every reason to throw everybody off their scent.
Sure they do.
But one thing that makes a lot of sense because they tried to trade for him last year and it didn't work out is A.J. McCarron, who's now a free agent, going there to Cleveland to be with Hugh Jackson.
I would not go there if I were him.
Okay, but well, why not? He worked with him.
I'll tell you why, because he's going to be next year's Mike Lennon. That's why.
Okay, but if he ends up playing well, then that changes things. Mike Lennon did not play well.
All I'm saying is that if they don't come away in this draft with, I believe, Josh Allen, who is the best fit for there,
then they
should just fire everybody
Well, they still could.
That's why you don't want, if you're A.J. McCarron, if you're looking for an opportunity to play and be the man, if you go to where you're saying that he's going, next year he is not going to be the man.
Okay, but think about it. He's going to have an opportunity to start with a coach of his that he's worked well with before, and he's going to be in there, and he's going to get a decent deal with a team that's got a lot of cap space.
Right.
So if he goes there, and they want a veteran quarterback, the Browns, that's what they're going to do. They're going to have a veteran quarterback
there. If they don't come out with Josh Allen, they all should be fired. Bobby and Little Ferry. Bobby, what's happening?
You know, I'm looking at the whole situation here. Now, I'm not into salary caps and all of this, so I don't know much about the financial end of it. But Cleveland can make an absolute sweep with this. They're going to sign Cousins. When they sign Cousins, they could take the running back with the first pick, and then on the fourth pick, they can take the most superior lineman, offensive or defensive in the draft. To me, it's an absolute sweep for Cleveland. Now, you have to convince Cousins that's exactly what they're going to do, and I think he's going to buy it. You could help me, Boomer, because I have no idea. How many holes does Cleveland have?
I would say that this is a young roster that is, if Josh Gordon keeps his head on straight, with the amount of money that they spent on their offensive line last year, that this has got to be a transition year for them. This has got to be a time where, you know, they got to make their fans believe that they know what the hell they're doing. I mean, I think they have a lot of good young players on that team. And this is a draft that is loaded with running backs all throughout it. You don't have to always go up there and get Saquon Barkley if you don't want to. And I think I thought that they would go after Cousins, but, you know.
There's no way in hell Kirk Cousins is going to go there. He's not going there.
But they and the Jets are the ones that could offer the most money.
So you're saying that if you were AJ McCarron, you wouldn't go to the Browns. All right, fine. I understand that philosophy. But you don't think that that's a scenario that's possible?
I would say to the Browns, if I'm AJ McCarron, are you taking a quarterback at the top of the draft? Are you taking one of these four or five top quarterbacks? Because if you are, and I know he's competitive and he wants to, you know, go. I don't want to be the guy that's holding the ball for a year like Mike Glennon was and then get yanked off the field.
Well, Mike Glennon also played horribly.
Five games into the season.
He was bad, though.
Because the fans want the number one draft pick.
Right, okay, but he was bad. I mean, there's a big difference. If he ends up playing well, then the guy can sit for a little bit. And if they believe that Josh Allen's a two-year project, then you have a guy who could start there for 2 years for you.
Well, forget that. Pete, okay, I'm not going to forget Township. Pete, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Boom?
All right. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm a hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a diehard Vikings fan for many years, and I'm listening to you guys pretty much every morning, listen to the afternoon show as well. Every time I listen to anybody on your station, it's an automatic that the Packers are going to win the division because Aaron Rodgers is coming back. But, you know, the Vikings have won a division before while Aaron Rodgers was healthy. The Lions have won a division before when Aaron Rodgers is healthy. It's really not an automatic that they're going to win.
Yeah, it's not like New England in the AFC. We get that. But I do know that in talking to Aaron Rodgers at the Super Bowl, I mean, you know, this guy is chomping at the bit. I mean, he is coming off of a injury year, and I just think that, you know, with the amount of money that I think they're going to spend in free agency now, because I think that fan base is getting tired of them doing it the old way, doing it the way that the Bengals and the Steelers do it, that they're going to have to start showing how they're spending some of this money to get some of these players in there, that they will definitely be in the mix because he will be 100% healthy and ready to roll.
Well, I know they're going to be in the mix for sure. They're always in the mix when he's healthy.
And plus, you don't even have a quarterback right now.
Well, that's the biggest point. I mean, I'm sitting here as a Vikings fan too. I'm thinking they're getting Aaron Rodgers back. I don't even know who the hell's going to be the quarterback for the Vikings.
Who do you want to be your quarterback, Pete?
I want them to stay with keep Case Keenum.
That's exactly what I see. Yeah,
and Teddy Bridgewater.
Well,
and we got Dalvin Cook coming back this year, so we're gonna. I mean, not to take anything away from how Latavius Murray played last year, because that was just a bonus.
Well, and McKinnon, too. I mean, think about how good McKinnon was.
Well, McKinnon's gone now.
Yeah, I know. He'll probably sign with the Giants.
Yeah. But
I will tell you, though, Pete, this is, you know, for me, with Aaron Rodgers coming back the way he's coming back, I mean, that division's wide open. And maybe, you know, Mike Zimmer basically said,
don't sign a quarterback that's too expensive.
He came out and said that.
Now, I know, because he said, we've won with this defense. The times that we've had success, we've gone to the playoffs with this defense. And if you give a quarterback all that money, we're not going to be able to keep these guys.
And remember, he's a defensive coordinator first. He's a defensive mindset first as a head coach. They bring in the quarterback coach from Philadelphia to be their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. Look, everybody just assumes that, you know, coming after off of the combine that Kirk Cousins is going to go there. And I'm like, come on, man, why does everybody think he's going to go there? Especially with the head coaches, like, don't pay this guy that exorbitant amount of money.
I'd be really disappointed, to be honest with you. If Kirk Cousins is there, I'd be really disappointed because I don't think he's all that good. He's going to suck up the cap. The defense is going to be as bad. That team's just going to toil. We're going to be toiling in the
NFC. All right, we'll see what happens. Hey, Clark Kellogg's in the house. We're going to talk a little college basketball with my man from CBS.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Clark Kellogg getting us ready for some March Madness. Clark, good morning. What's happening? How are you?
I'm terrific, Gio and Boomer. Great to hang out with you. Obviously, this is a fantastic time of year on the sports calendar for all folks that love college basketball, but even those who are casual fans, because you can get into the brackets a little bit and have some fun with that. And for us that get the privilege and blessing of covering it, it's as good as it gets. And well, I've been at it for a while.
Yeah. The good news is that we got you before the tournament.
That's right. I knew you were going there. Oh, I knew you were going there.
I mean, the way you used to, you know, bunker yourself
what,
up.
What do you mean used to? Oh, it still happens. It still happens.
Why do you do that?
Why do I do that? Because I need a chance to recalibrate and recharge. I'm looking at the brackets all day long between starting now. Probably Friday I'll start looking at potential seeds and so forth. And then we have the selection show. Yep. And then we do post-selection show media. I'm ready to veg out with my girlfriend, my wife for 35 years.
You can veg out after the fact.
I will.
Like the most important time for
you. No, it's not. Monday for me is the most important time to recharge, refuel, restore,
now,
reinvigorate. You want any more R words? You want any more R words?
I can't even imagine me restoring, reinvigorating,
whatever. You're talking to the wrong guy about
that. Super Bowl. Oh, my God. I'm like, this is my time.
Hey, there's different ways to get to a good result. For me, it's important that I take that time off to not even look at my bracket, and then give my hard drive a chance to re and defragment.
All right. Well, I know you're a bright guy and everything else. How much
selection show, by the way? Let me just get it's on TBS this year.
How much money did Ohio State give you to go to school there?
It was simply the power of the Buckeye Nation. Yeah, I'm a Cleveland native, Northeastern Ohio native, and there's nothing quite like Buckeye Nation, and I say that with great affection.
So you knew you were going to go there?
No, I did not. No. It actually came down to Ohio State and Michigan. I visited Kentucky and Notre Dame. You were allowed 6 visits when I came out of high school back in 79. I only took 4. Wasn't interested in wasting anybody's time. It gave my parents a chance to go on those visits with me. I knew I wanted to stay reasonably close to home so my dad could come to the game. He did not miss a home game in the 3 years that I was in Columbus. He made an effort to get there with either his partner or some friends. He was a policeman for over 40 years, so he had some flexibility in his work schedule, but he did not miss a home game.
That's awesome.
That's really great. One of my great memories. So for me, it was the right call. Michigan was, and they were all really good schools. I mean, Kentucky, obviously, we know about their basketball prowess and a good school as well. And then, obviously, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Ohio State, all outstanding schools.
They didn't have to pay you to go.
No, they did not. No, they did not have to
pay you
to go. People assume that I got a brown bag, but I did not. I just got the love and support of a great institution and the Buckeye Nation.
So all the stuff that's going on now, the Sean Miller story, we can go on and on. We're heading into the tournament. Now, I think once that tournament starts that the fans are going to get their brackets, they're going to be into it, and their office pools and everything else. Nobody's going to care.
That's right.
What do you think the
cloud? No, I'm with you, Gio. I'm with you. Obviously, we've got a cloud hovering over the game. There's no denying that. And we also know that the NCAA has some flaws. But some of it is their hands being tied based on them being an association that's private and doesn't have enforcement power and doesn't have some of the same tools that the FBI has that led to this investigation. Now, what's been leaked publicly, there's still some question as to how much of that is real or fabricated. But we'll find out. That cloud hovering over college basketball doesn't change the fact that between that 94-by-50-foot box, the kids, the coaches, the officials, the game is in a good place, and the drama, uncertainty, unpredictability of this 3 weeks is still going to captivate people. Now, if other information leaks, then obviously it'll have to be addressed, but the focus for all of us is on the games, because that's what it's about. You are here at work today despite what the weather might look like outside.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. I mean, there's a cloud. We don't know what it's going to produce, but that doesn't keep us from focusing on the sunshine that's going to take place between those 94 by 50 foot boxes across multiple sites.
Talking to Clark Kellogg about the NCAA brackets and everything that's going to be happening here after this weekend. Sunday's the big show. I know that. You know, here's the thing about NCAA basketball, and I've been saying it here for 10 years, Clark.
Okay.
It's dirty, and it's dirty because of the coaches. The coaches make it dirty. Not all the coaches. There are a lot of great coaches.
That's right. That's right.
Gary Williams is a great coach. Mm-hmm. I love Gary Williams, and I love how he treated the University of Maryland, never put us in a bad light, always coached his butt off, never really liked to recruit because he didn't like to get down in the dirt with you know, with the AAU coaches out there that think that they're doing something for kids who need something to be done for them. Mm-hmm. And I get all of that. I get the altruism that's associated with that. But what I don't like is when a coach has the incentive to tell a guy who's on his staff to go do something and do it without me knowing about it because I have plausible deniability and therefore I'm not going to be held accountable, when in fact that the coaches make so much money now that it is in their best interest for them to win to get the best players.
Cannot deny anything that you said. Now, again, I like the fact that you didn't paint all the coaches with the same brushes. Like, as a matter of fact, the vast majority are not. The reality is this stuff has gone on. It's been going on. And we've now gotten to a point where there's a real appetite to address it and to change it. No, I don't think there's any doubt. It's going to take some time, though, Boomer. That's the other thing. It's going to take a little time. And you're right. Coaches, if involved, those who have chosen to go that route, have been incentivized, if you look at it that way, from the standpoint of how commercial and business-like the game is, the money that's available. Now, there are a lot of tentacles on how you get to dealing with the money that's in the game, because the property is a money property, clearly. No doubt about that. But we have to find a way to revisit the concept of amateurism.
I know how to stop it.
Talk to me.
Guy gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He's fired immediately. Does not get any payout or payoff.
Okay.
Every contract should have that caveat in it.
Okay.
And then at the end of the day, he shouldn't be allowed to come back into college basketball for a minimum 5 years. I think that would scare the crap out of the coaches, and it wouldn't allow the underlings to go out there with their—
Well, believe me, those things are all on the table and being discussed. Those are institutional decisions. They go back to— hunt back to how you structure contracts in terms of what's viable and what's not.
Every school should have the same contract, have the same language.
There's 1,100 schools, I think, in the NCAA.
I get
across multiple divisions. So that's the complexity of a structure. Simplistically, clearly what you're talking about is perhaps a viable solution. Getting to that point is going to take some major work. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but the process has to be played out. And again, my thing is there's a real appetite because of what's been revealed for this to change, and it's going to start to happen slowly but surely. I think as soon as this summer or fall before the next basketball game, some changes being implemented.
Don't you think those guys, and I know that, look, you love the sport, I love the sport.
Yeah, sure.
And I know it happens in football as much as it probably happens in basketball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't you feel like sometimes that these coaches and these, you know, other than the scum of the earth that basically takes advantage of these poor kids. Now, I know that it's not really the kids' fault. I guess if somebody offered me $100,000 and I'd be
taking
poor, I would take it.
Hey, it's hard. It's disheartening on every level when you care about the game. And more importantly, you care about the kids. Now, it's a complex web. The environment needs to be recalibrated and reset. And to me, a big part of it is the character and integrity of those in positions of leadership. We rarely address that aspect of it. Just because a system tempts you to do things and you feel like there's a reward monetarily or stature-wise for doing it, that doesn't mean you have to do that just because everybody else
does. Well, you get fired, though. That's the problem, you're not winning. You know?
I understand, but that's a whole other element to this complex web. And again, there's work being done. There's a college commission on basketball that's really looking at all aspects and all tentacles of how to begin to bring forth some substantive recommendations that the NCAA board of governors and so forth will look at and then implement those. And then you'll get on a track towards cleaning it up. And there has to be significant, stringent, zero tolerance policies in place for violations once you get to a place where the rules make sense and you start to adjust that type of stuff.
We're talking to Clark Kellogg. Now, you've been in the studio with Barkley the last couple of years, right?
Yes, I have. And Kenny Smith and Ernie Johnson, right. Greg Gumbel, Seth Davis, our whole family.
Do you ever throw something at Barkley just for your own entertainment
Can't do it. Him and Kenny, him and Kenny throw enough stuff at each other for all of us.
If you were like, Chuck, give me your take on the Lipscomb bench. Like, is it, would you do that to him?
And then No, I can't. I have such it's been such a joy hanging out with those guys the last few years. They know basketball. They're naturally funny and good guys, all three of them. And Greg is as good as it gets, Seth as well. So I'm fortunate. I enjoy what we do. I enjoy our chemistry and rapport. And again, when you have naturally funny guys next to you who share a love and knowledge of the game, it's hard not to enjoy yourself. And I do. Thoroughly.
If you had to predict that the four number one seeds right now, and I know we have to go through a few more tournaments here, who do you think the four number one
Well, I think Villanova's locked on the one line regardless of what happens going forward. I think Nova would be there as well.
Virginia,
Nova. And then probably Xavier's in a pretty good spot. Then after that, it's probably Kansas or Duke. I don't know if there's any other team that could get to the one line based on what is already in the barn in terms of
How did you like the Big Ten here in New York City?
I felt like it was really good. I went to the Michigan State Wisconsin game Friday afternoon. Then I obviously went to the Ohio State Penn State game on Friday night. A third time we went down to the Nittany Lions, but I thought the energy. I mean, that building is special, Boomer, as you well know.
There was some controversy
because you had to play the compressed schedule in order to get on this particular day. To get into the Garden, you had to take the earlier week because the Big East is there. So there was some, but I think once the players got there logistically, it was a little, but I tell you what, the environment, the energy, and
the
I think anecdotally, if you surveyed the coaches and players, I think it's a thumbs up,
And let's face it, if you are recruiting in this area, you want to have the Big Ten tournament here because of the hotbed of
it's
a
buzz that
town,
it's a buzz you can't manufacture elsewhere. When you come to this city and play in that building, it felt that way when I played in the pros with the Pacers. It felt that way when I had a chance at Ohio State. We played a game against Princeton in there. Feels that way whenever you go there to broadcast, whether it's Big East, whatever it is. When you go to the Garden, you feel like you're on Broadway.
Too bad it doesn't happen for the Knicks that way.
Hopefully in time.
Do you think other conferences are going to look at what the Big Ten did and said, you know, maybe we can get a little bit more exposure with this and then move up the tournament, condense the schedule ourselves?
I don't think that would be something that teams and conferences would like to do on a regular basis. I really don't. This was an exception. It was a special venue.
But it worked out really
well. It did work out well. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but just because something is good doesn't mean you're going to do it more than every now.
Everybody's copycat, though, you know?
No, there's a herd mentality that exists in everything. I understand that. But again, I think with Indianapolis and Chicago on tap the next few years, and those places have been really great hosts for the Big Ten tournament, I just don't know if we'll see. I would hope they would revisit the Garden because we were in D.C. at the Big Ten Conference tournament was in D.C. And again, with the presence of Rutgers and Maryland, makes sense to try to get here in this part of the country.
It's so weird when you say Rutgers.
I know. Well, you can say that about a lot of conferences.
Do you think my whole thing about the ACC coming here to New York now at the Barclays Center, that's a great fit too as well.
Sure.
I mean, it's still Brooklyn, it's still New York, and it's a special building.
Hey, man, you're speaking. I mean, you don't have to convince me of that. This is a special place to play basketball because of the number of people, the fan base, the magnetism of the venues. I've not been to Barclays for the ACC, but I mean, sitting in there for the Big Ten, it felt big. It felt large. It felt special. And that's what kids want to experience. That's the kind of experience you'd like to give your student athletes when they get a chance to play these conference. I never played a conference tournament. They weren't in existence, at least in the Big Ten back then in the late 70s. It didn't start until, I want to say, 98 maybe in the Big Ten.
Right.
One of the later conferences to go to the postseason conference tournament.
Now, when you take that Monday off after the Selection Sunday show.
Nobody can find me but my girlfriend. I'm telling you. My girlfriend.
You're combing through the brackets. You're going through that. All right?
I don't go through the brackets on Monday.
Oh, you don't?
I don't even look at them, man.
You really don't.
Do you guys want to tape me and follow me around on Monday?
Kind of a weird thing.
Why is it weird? Why can't you guys get your arms around that? That there's a reason. There's a time. The Bible says there's a time and season for everything.
Well, this and is the time and season
time,
for that.
There's a time to heal.
Yeah.
There's a time to pray.
I mean, wouldn't
there's
that
a time
be
to
after
rest.
The national
there's
championship
There's a time
game.
To recalibrate. There's a time to rejuvenate. There's a time to hang out with your girlfriend.
All right,
okay?
All right.
And for me, the Monday after Selection Sunday is a wonderful time to disappear. I might watch a movie. I might read a book.
Wouldn't
but
it be
I'm going
like
to
the
enjoy
Tuesday after the national championship game?
No, because I want to ramp up. See, in order to get to
all
the
right,
peak,
right.
I got to go down, right. And then I start the ascension. And then by the time we get to April Championship Monday,
you're there.
I'm at my highest
at
level.
Peak, right.
And then after that, my colleagues are off to the Masters,
yeah.
And I'm off on vacation.
Well, there
okay.
you go.
Oh, there you go. Recalibrate.
There you go. Quickly, do you think that it hurts the Big Ten that their conference now – the tournament is over, and they're going to have to wait.
No way to predict that, Boomer. Right. You know, depending on what happens, you can cut that any way you want to.
Right.
You know, you can manipulate, you can torture silly putty or statistics or circumstances to say whatever you want them to say. So for those who are, and you know coaches are typically superstitious.
Sure
and
they are.
So if things go bumpy and don't work out, perhaps they'll look and say part of it was the long layoff. If they roll through,
the rest
helped us.
The rest.
Right,
yeah,
right, yeah. So I think it cuts both ways, and we won't know. No, we won't know. Every team will respond to it differently.
Who is the best team in college basketball right now that nobody really knows of? I mean, we know Virginia, we know Villanova, obviously Xavier, Michigan State. Michigan obviously showed something in this tournament
Well,
here.
I mean, with all of the information out there, if you're following the game, then you know of these teams, but perhaps lesser profiled or lesser – Less visibility or notoriety. I would put Texas Tech in there, particularly if Keenan Evans is back healthy. He had a toe injury recently, but he looked like he was healthy in their most recent game. So Texas Tech, and they'll be a relatively high seed, I would think, somewhere on the top four lines. That's a really good team. Clemson lost a key player, but they have really good guards. I'll give you a couple of teams outside of the Power Five that you can keep an eye on. Bucknell, if they get by Colgate, in the Patriot League Championship, is a team that tested itself greatly during the non-conference and has the kind of size and perimeter play that could be problematic. And then there's a team out of the MAC that maybe will win a game or two as well, Buffalo. If in fact, you know, they have to get through their conference tournament.
Yeah, I know everything that there's
is contingent. Yeah, there's
right.
a contingent.
I get it, but I just wanted to know if there was a team like you just pointed out. Like, I wouldn't even know. What?
Lipscomb.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga is really good. But everybody knows.
But
most people
knows
yeah.
who they are. Yeah, Texas Tech, I wouldn't know.
Okay. All right. So I gave you one.
Yeah,
so you're
not
happy?
Definitely. And Buffalo, too.
Yeah. Okay. There's just a
I
few
know
little,
all the,
just,
we all know the big schools. We all know what's yeah, going on yeah, there. Yeah, is there yeah. a team?
I'll tell you another team that to keep an eye on is Texas A&M. They were really hot early and then had some injuries, some suspensions to guys, and now have regrouped. I feel like they're a tournament team. Even as an at-large, but they could be a 7-8 seed, perhaps, that could get to San Antonio.
How about the other way? Is there one of these teams that's at the top of the rankings that obviously is probably not worthy of that? Just because maybe their schedule wasn't as strong as it should have been, or like, is Duke going to get upset again? Let's hope it happens, you know?
Well, you know, the thing about this year is that the teams that are at the top that'll be on those top three seed lines all have reasonable flaws, more so than we've seen that group of teams in the past in recent years. I mean, I think the total number of losses of those teams on the top three lines will probably be more than we've had. I'd have to go back and check. So they all have – none of them are overwhelming or dominant favorites. The talent at Duke is very impressive. The way they've played the zone defense of late makes Seth Davis really happy because he's a zone proponent.
Yes.
But also it makes it tougher on their opponents. So I think they could – they could find a way to accelerate Michigan's plan as well as anybody in the country.
You know why? You know why Seth Davis likes his own? He doesn't like the work. Somebody else to do the work.
I didn't say it, Seth.
Unbelievably enough, first four a week from today, Selection Sunday, obviously this coming Sunday on TBS this year, and of course the CBS, TBS properties. You can watch all the games.
That's right.
Every game televised. True TV.
Yep.
You find where that is again. All that stuff. It's an exciting time of year. We thank Clark Kellogg for being
here. My pleasure, Gio. Boomer, great to hang out with you guys.
Enjoy your Monday day off.
I will next
all
week.
Right. We are live from the Investors Bank Studios here at WFM.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
So Fox is hot and heavy after Peyton Manning trying to get into that Thursday Night Football booth.
And apparently Troy Aikman would be in the studio or something. He would get out of the booth. He wouldn't do those games.
He'd do Sunday games, you know. And actually, I said this about a month and a half ago when all this stuff hit. I said, if I'm Fox or ESPN, I'm paying him whatever he wants to come into the studio to do the games.
Yeah. So I think that Peyton Manning, who's a guy that we've talked about, it took every last dollar, and I'm not blaming him for that, but that's the facts. He took every last dollar in his career.
Yep.
Would probably do the same in the booth.
Sure he would.
So how much money do you think? Now, you know better than me, but how much money do you think it would take for Peyton Manning to take that job? For 1 year?
How many? First of all, I think they signed a five-year deal, and they have all the Thursday night games, maybe with the exception of the opening game, which may still be on NBC. I don't know. I have no idea. They're moving everything all over the place.
10-game package, maybe?
Probably more than that.
More than that?
Yeah, I would probably say 12 games. Peyton Manning's not doing it for less than $10 million.
A year?
$10 million?
To announce a game. As an analyst, someone who's never done it.
Let me explain something to you. One of the reasons the ratings in the NFL are down is because Peyton Manning's not playing. That guy is about
$10 million?
I would say, arguably, the most famous NFL football player of all time.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know if I believe that. I got to be honest. I've never been one. Oh, Peyton Manning's on. I want to watch him.
When I say popular, I say likable. His likability factor.
Not likable, but.
And everybody loved. You know, look, all of our games that he played in were like super ratings.
Well, because he played.
Right. Everybody knew who he was.
Good storylines. But are people going to turn on the game because Peyton Manning's calling it?
And that was it. Maybe. I think so.
You think that people watch more football games because Peyton Manning's calling?
I think on a Thursday night, just like with Tony Romo, there's going to be an immediate interest in those games simply because he's in the booth.
Right. If I tune into a game and there's a lame-o broadcast team, I'm like, this can't be a good game. Out.
Legit. Well, I mean, who would be a lame-o broadcast? I mean,
you know, names? I don't want to name names, but you know not the upper-tier guys. It just seems like it's not an important game.
Well, that would be a Sunday. That would be like a Sunday afternoon game that would be in a lower market, or if you're going through your DirecTV package or whatever, you might find something different, and you might say, hey, this is obviously in a much smaller market, and they're like, it's Tennessee and Buffalo.
That's different than putting on a game because of the color analyst.
No, but when you would put on those NFL Network Thursday night games and they did not have a great team on it, it just seemed less interesting. I hear Troy Aikman's voice, you think this is an important game.
Because Troy Aikman is always on important games.
Oh, I see.
They're not going to give Troy Aikman, St. Louis and Tennessee.
I'm asking you, that when Tony Romo was doing the game.
Oh, come on, Romo, you suck.
And you liked it.
I never put a game on because Tony Romo was doing the game.
Yeah, but I never put it on.
Because, because he did Sundays and there were other options for you.
I mean, normally I was watching anyway, though.
When he's doing Thursday night games, he's by himself and you're watching
but
it. You like it.
He doesn't bring me to the screen.
The game does.
CBS paid him because he came right up the field. He was a cowboy.
I get it.
He's extremely famous. He's articulate and he does a good job.
So oh, come on, Romo, you suck.
And if you are Fox and you are trying to create a credibility and you're trying to get people to watch and let you know how serious this is going to be, then you put Peyton Manning.
Let me just say this. As a football fan for 40 years, I never have put a game on for an announcer, and I am not going to put Thursday Night Football on. I don't care who's the announcer.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm going to watch
it
Thursday.
How I feel about Rutgers basketball.
Peyton Manning's on?
Oh, I mean,
good for you. Great.
I mean,
you can all have your opinion.
No,
I don't know why. I actually do
listen to you because
I know
it's you. That's
I know
why.
You do. But I just don't think that matters.
It matters in the publicity of the property.
That's different, though. But if you're paying someone $10 million, it means that the ratings have to affect that. The revenue has to affect that.
You know why you're going to pay him $10 million?
Because he brings in advertisers?
That's just because that's what he's worth.
But if he's not attracting advertisers,
why would Peyton Manning want to go do a football game on a Thursday night and get paid, $1.5 million?
Well, right, but
it's not happening.
God forbid.
I know.
You want
right?
Peyton Manning to come work for you. You want Peyton Manning to do a nationwide commercial for you. You want Peyton Manning to do a Papa John's pizza commercial for you. Guess what? You got to pay.
Well, because Fox hears that from Peyton Manning doesn't mean they have to pay him. Fox would want to pay him.
Fox wants a big name in that booth.
That's fine.
It doesn't get any bigger than that.
If you have, Patriots, Steelers, on a Thursday night? Does it honestly matter who Peyton Manning's
cool
doing?
Minka could be doing a game.
You get my point, though. I know. His circle with those two teams. Bad example. Cowboys, Eagles.
I'd love
Thursday
to have
Peyton
Manning in there.
Sure, but does it really matter?
I think it'd be awesome. I think it'd be fun. I think he'd be kind of. I like it, so I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just telling you. That's what
it's
he's
not
worth.
Like we wouldn't like it. I just don't understand the
should
value
to it.
Should we
do a boomer poll here? Should we whip out the boomer poll and do one of those to see if people would put on the game because of Peyton Manning?
I think I could hear a poll.
All right. Very good.
I hear a poll.
All right. Let's do it. Yeah. Let's whip out the boomer poll. Whip it out, boom. Let's go. Let's see.
You put your poll out there yesterday, right?
Yeah,
we saw it.
And what do you want me to do?
Would you put on a game just to listen to Peyton Manning call it? There you go. Yes or no.
But it's got to be more than that because everybody will do it the first time. Is that going to be part of your routine?
You know what?
Will you watch the game for Peyton Manning?
I'm not saying that all football fans love Peyton Manning. I'm sure there are some that don't like him simply because he played for a team against their favorite team, whatever. But I think the likability factor, the respect factor, everything that goes into it.
I do like a poll, yeah.
Yeah, I know you do. And then also the popularity of just him being a part of a game would actually enhance the game.
All right,
it would.
Maybe, but I'm still not putting a game on because of a color analyst.
I don't care.
It's the game.
And then the other thing is, why would Peyton Manning want to do it for anything less than that?
Well, yeah, that I'm not disputing. My one dispute is that he's worth $10 million because he's going to be.
Peyton's a commodity, dude. All right. He is. I'm just telling you.
As a football player, he was.
You know what?
Yeah. We don't know. He could be horrendous.
Joe Montana was awesome, and then he got in the studio, and he was terrible.
But Joe doesn't have the personality that Peyton has. Peyton has an unbelievable personality. You've seen him on SNL.
I have.
You see him in the commercials. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. The guy, you can't touch him when it comes to his popularity around the best or the biggest and most popular sport in America. You just can't.
Where to plant the pole into a tiny box.
Jesus.
This is what I'm doing for a living. Holy crap.
You're not doing it for free either.
No, you're not.
Let's be honest.
That's for sure.
Yeah. What's up, Jerry?
ACC tournament begins in about 3 hours,
nice.
3.5 hours in Brooklyn over at Barclays Center. Georgia Tech, Boston College, followed by Pitt and Notre Dame. So that gets underway. You guys
Pitt
mentioned
0-18 in the ACC.
Yeah, well,
disgusting.
Not a great season for sure. You guys also mentioned the fact you got LIU Brooklyn playing Wagner tonight, so you get another automatic bid. Last night you had a couple with Iona beating Fairfield in the MAC championship. Gary Cohen with the final seconds on Westwood One.
Now Iona inbounds, and that'll do it. Six straight trips to the MAC championship game. Their fifth NCAA tournament appearance in the last 7 years. The Iona Gales, champions again of the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Now, so who do you think had a better call, Stanko or Cohen?
Well, Stanko, he's a student, so he did just fine.
Well, I'm just saying, but who would you, I mean, that was, would you go to the radio?
I think he's a net negative.
Would you go for the radio for Stanko or Cohen? See, I would go for Stanko.
I would personally listen, yes.
All right, you know.
Stanko it is. Unanimous.
Unanimous Stanko.
UNC Greensboro won the Southern Conference, beating East Tennessee State 62-47. Matt Harvey, certainly a storyline this morning from yesterday's effort against the Tigers. He wound up going 3 scoreless innings and a spring training win.
You know, I think the last inning, third inning, like I felt better than I did the first 2 innings, so that was usually it's the other way around, so it was that was definitely a good sign.
All right, thoughts from his manager Mickey Callaway. He's impressed how Harvey battled.
He pitched with not his best stuff today.
It's like 3 innings, man.
No, seriously.
Jeffy, you see how measured Mickey is?
I love Mickey Callaway. I do.
He's very measured. Love him.
Yes, I do. I like this guy. I actually listen to his entire press conferences every morning so I can cut them up. The guy's
He's good.
Yeah, I do. I like him a lot,
and not
actually.
Just for the noises he makes in the beginning.
No,
right?
You know what? That has stopped.
Wow.
That has stopped.
Oh, got to him. Got
I'm
back to him.
I'm listening for noises, and there are no noises.
I wonder if Jay got to him. Stop making the noises. You stop. Does that make it funny?
The problem is the goofy laughs have not when he was asked his impressions of the kid Andres Jimenez.
He looks really, really young.
Yeah.
Yeah. He likes that.
How's Steven
Matt's
really,
doing?
He's
really young.
He's terrible.
Oh, man. Awful.
I like this guy. Here's more Callaway thoughts of Matt Harvey now.
He can be very, very good. He's got good stuff.
Good stuff, says he's just doing his job, Harvey.
You know, he's not thinking all these internal thoughts about mechanics. He's just using his body.
Using his body now. And what does that even mean?
I don't know.
Here's Brandon Nimmo. He homered in this game. So there's a whole conversation. You know, Michael Conforto is not ready. Is it going to be Nimmo, Lagares in center field, some tandem? Nimmo knows he needs to produce.
I don't think that I have a guaranteed spot at all. So my results do matter to me.
And they matter to Mickey Callaway, nice, who has to make these decisions too. So accountability, that's a good thing for this team. Mets play the Astros today. Jason Vargas will make the start. Jacob DeGrom simulated game today. So things moving along in the right direction for him. Jordan Montgomery starts as the Yankees play the Tigers today. Mariners signing Ichiro to a one-year contract. Cowboys put the franchise tag on DeMarcus Lawrence. He promptly signed it. He gets $17.1 million. Le'Veon Bell expecting to be tagged by the Steelers. The deadline is today at 4 p.m. Did you guys do, I know Al and I touched on it earlier, did you guys do the Roger Goodell story yet?
No, with the 40, no, we did not.
You buy this?
That he ran that
Roger
quick?
Roger Goodell's doing a 40 in 5.4 seconds?
I saw it. Did you watch the video?
I didn't.
Yeah, I watched it. He was
it
moving.
It looks legit.
It does. He was
How
moving.
How old is Roger Goodell now?
That I don't know.
60?
I would say he's got to be in his 60s.
Just Google it.
So he's around Mark's age, essentially. I think Mark could do it. Roger Goodell's a big guy, though. It seems kind of surprising to me.
59 years old.
Could
just
turn
59.
Why would I want to do that?
I didn't ask you if you wanted to, and I'm not asking if you would. I said, do you think you could?
I guess I could, but I don't want to.
5.4. I don't know about that. Seems kind of quick.
Yeah. What was it? Remember when Rich Eisen used to do it?
He still does it.
Was he around that number? Because he's younger, and he did it in a suit.
I honestly have no idea.
He still does it every year, doesn't he?
I don't know.
For charity, apparently.
He was moving Goodell. He really was. I actually do buy it.
All right, so 5.41 seconds for Roger Goodell in the 40-yard dash. Falcons give 43-year-old kicker Matt Bryant a 3-year extension. And Antonio Cromartie, we had him in here a few months ago. He was hopeful of a call, never got a call. And I still don't know if his show and with his wife has been picked up.
I think it has been.
It has been picked up for another season.
Yeah. Quickly, Rob and Emerson. Rob, what's happening?
I would absolutely listen to a football game with Peyton Manning doing the commentating. He brings us so much value. What do you
Thank you.
That doesn't bring any value.
Thank you.
No, but I mean,
we're not going to turn it off because he's doing the game.
You're misunderstanding the question. Would you put on the game just for him? I mean, it's
absolutely
a draw. Okay.
100%.
All right.
There was so much value.
Yes.
He was the on-field coach. He brings more value than Gruden did.
Gruden was annoying, though.
Yeah, Gruden. Well,
he got annoying.
More people.
He got annoying.
Yeah, because he never criticized anybody.
But he got annoying.
He's the greatest player I've ever seen, man.
Out of his mouth was intelligent.
I don't know.
I disagree.
That seems like a guy who likes everything.
Long Island, what's happening, Shawnee?
Hey, I want to justify the $10 million.
Yep.
Because you think about these ex-presidents who go to speaking engagements and get $500,000, $600,000 for one engagement in front of a couple thousand people. Peyton Manning's going to do 12 games in front of millions of people. What's wrong with $1 million a game?
That's exactly right.
Fair.
I guarantee he's getting at least $250,000 for his speeches right now. I would tell you that. Let's go to Greg in Massapequa. Greg, what's happening?
What's up, guys? So also want to justify having Peyton Manning because I remember actually toward the end of the football season, during the regular season, my dad and I were curious. We're watching the Monday Night Football game. We're like, how much money are these guys actually making? We looked it up. And I found out Gruden made around $5 million. I mean, it could be a little inaccurate. I mean, again.
I think he made six.
Well, he had been there, and he signed contracts, and he stayed there. And remember,
the highest-paid employee there.
But you remember, he also had the leverage of always going back. So ESPN had to make sure that he was compensated fairly and kept him there and kept him from going back to coach. So the other thing about – All right, Peyton Manning's probably made about $400 million already total.
$400.
That was my South Shore.
Yeah, I know.
Right there.
My God, Peyton's made $400 million.
My man Tony Toronto, it was $400.
I guess maybe Jerry and I are just too cynical with this stuff.
No, I'm just a football fan. The one thing I will say about what Al said that I do agree with. When there's a big game and you heard Summerall and Madden, you hear Buck and Aikman, there's a big game feel. I agree. But I wasn't turning it on because Buck and Aikman are doing the game.
Turn it on because of the game.
That was a bonus. Yeah, but Tommy, you have to understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about Fox's first foray into Thursday Night Football. So they want to differentiate themselves from everybody else. And the best way to do that is to get one of the biggest names, most popular players of all time to do something that he's never done before.
You know what else?
And that is to go into the booth, much like Tony Romo did for CBS. I know why CBS did what they did.
Yeah, better games would do it.
Probably would also force the NFL to try to put better games on Thursday night because Fox is putting so much money into the programming of it. But you know, I played for 14 years.
See.
I've been covering this league for 21 years. All right, so 35 years I've been around the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There has never been, well, I'm going to say never been, the most popular player in my eyes over that period of time is Peyton Manning. Dan Marino was that popular when he was playing, and I always said that he was the most popular player when we were playing, but I think Peyton Manning eclipsed everybody.
You want to know Peyton Manning's value? Give him the same crappy schedule they've had and see if the ratings go up. Honestly.
Yeah, it's true. That, Jerry, that would be the barometer.
You, he is, Jerry, he is a bona fide superstar.
We're not arguing that,
in the world
though.
Of sport, and that's why he's that's worth not, whatever Fox would,
that's not what
would
we're
be
discussing.
Willing to pay him.
Yeah, that's
and a I different would tell topic. The Fox people, too. I would say the same thing. Give him a five-year, $50 million contract and call it a day.
Titans, Browns. Are you getting big ratings because Peyton Manning's doing the game? Yeah, right. That's your barometer.
I'll tell you what, if the Browns have Josh Allen as a quarterback and they're 10-1,
that's
yes.
Not, that's not the point.
Exactly.
If the Browns 10-1, are 10-1,
all right, 843 on the fan. Fair. It's so easy, guys. I don't know why you guys don't see this.
No, we do.
Once
I don't
again,
think you do.
Once again, pulse of the people.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Why are you taunting me while you eat an Oreo? Like, it's Oreo taunting.
Did you
right
say
now.
No to the Oreos?
No. I ate them.
Oh, you
them.
Did?
Yeah, I ate them.
You got a whole box over there. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. Do you want one?
No, I do not. I mean, I'd love one, but no, I'm good.
Oh, here, have one.
I don't
well,
want
what's
one.
What's the problem?
I'm not eating an Oreo.
Why not?
Let me tell you something. There's no chance I'm going to eat that.
Shove it.
No.
Well, what's the problem?
Eat it, Jerry.
Just one Oreo? You don't like
it?
You don't want the Oreo.
I do not want the Oreo.
It's peep-flavored Oreos.
I know what it is, and they're fantastic, and I'm not eating it.
It's a marshmallow.
I'm not eating the Oreo.
It's a little purple marshmallow.
No chance. No.
Like a seal.
No.
That could be since you're out of the combine.
Eat it. Eat it.
Yeah.
With the M&Ms? No.
Oh, eat it. Eat it.
What do you would happen to me?
What happened to you?
You know, sometimes people try to make... Yes, here's what happened to me. All right? My cardiologist called me a fat pig last week, essentially,
wow.
And asked me if I want to die young.
Really?
So, yes.
Did he say that, fat pig?
So I did a stress test.
Okay.
Have a heart attack and die. He told me that was very possible. I did a stress test a week and a half ago, and when I was done with the stress test, I had all the cables all over my chest, and I'm sitting down on the chair, and he grabs my belly. He goes, "What is this?
You, sir, die."
I said, yes, I understand. He goes, "I asked you to lose 2 pounds. You've gained 2. So I'm doing some things. The Oreo doesn't fit into that right now.
Drop dead.
So no.
What did this guy do with me?
Throw up.
Euthanize me in
no,
the
no,
office?
No.
Like, what would he do?
No,
my
liposuction.
God.
Liposuction.
You know, speaking of that, there was a guy who did liposuction on the AM station, AM news station in Pittsburgh when I was out there.
Why would we do that here?
Did lipo? Well, listen to this story. Did liposuction as a part of a deal for the radio station. He endorsed it, and then he almost died from it. Had to spend like weeks in the hospital because there was complications.
I believe it. There's nothing easy about surgery.
Do liposuction. The sales guys right now are scurrying around. Oh, yeah, liposuction. What do you think? They're all lined up in my office.
Gio's perfect.
Yeah, it's awesome. Pitch a liposuction thing. Danny C's like, "Oh, we're going to do the lipo? We're going to do the lipo here? This is awesome. Right over here. On your hips, on your gut, on your cheeks. All right. Lipo for Gio. It's perfect. I can see it in lights now. Lipo for Gio. What we can do, Gio's getting lipo. Gio lipo. Lipo Gio. Gio. Lipo, bam, live reads, let's go, Cherny's in, we are going there. Woo! How's Friday?
Sadly, oh, that God. Actually seemed like him.
Yeah.
Sadly, that is him.
That's awesome.
Oh, that is great.
Well, we'll see if he comes around the corner any minute now.
great.
So thank you. So you enjoy those. I'm good. Antonio Cromartie did announce his retirement. The Islanders. Boy, the Islanders stink right now. They lost to the Canucks 4-3 in overtime. Did get a point, but wound up losing to the Canucks.
Jim Beauvillier loses the puck. Leipzig shoots and scores. Brendan Leipzig on a loose puck that rolled off the stick of Anthony Beauvillier. Draws Yaro Halak down and out and flips it home. And the Vancouver Canucks win it 4-3 in overtime.
And that was Chris King. Oh, my God. Here on the fan. Josh Bailey.
Leave me alone!
John Tavares and Jordan Eberle scored in the loss against seven straight for the Isles. Rangers been on a nice little groove. They'll play the Jets tonight, maybe get themselves back in the playoff position soon. We'll see. And the Devils take on the Montreal Canadiens. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by Resorts World Casino Queens. With over 6,000 games on three spacious floors, they've got more right next door.
Moment of the Day!
I gotta be honest, I kind of wish what you just did was earlier. But instead, we will talk about when you were discussing the way Boomer tries to keep people away from him prior to the radio show.
Do you put your music up really high in your office before the show to deter people from talking to you and going into the office?
No, I think it doesn't work.
It's sort of like a repellent in a way.
It doesn't work. I play aloud to get you jacked up to get ready to roll.
I mean, that's fine.
A whole lot of love this morning by Led Zeppelin. You were all jacked up.
I was, and then you yelled at me for being too jacked up. So it was a little confused. Mixed messages.
5-hour energy. You have to be able to get through that. You just got to calm through it and yes. But make it last.
Well, it's just funny. Like, Eddie, put this up loud. This is what it's like in the morning.
Boomer, we have. There's a remote in May. Can you do me? May 15th. Boomer!
What's that? I can't hear you, Mark. Definitely do that on purpose.
100% I do it on purpose.
There you go. Moment of the day.
Yeah, it's a pretty good reenactment if I say so myself.
That could be the moment of every day.
That's true.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Congrats to Bob Dwyer. He is our vertical leap champion of the Boomer and Geo show on WFAN. So I came in second. I'd ran out of gas, basically, because apparently I wasn't even close. This time around,
yeah, you got a little worse in the final segment there. But then again, you beat Jerry. Yeah. That's not saying much because he got a bad back. You beat Al with hard shoes.
Yeah, I beat Evan with shorts.
And then Evan had shorts on. Yeah. And Evan has no vertical leap ability whatsoever.
Yeah. Does this make you feel a little bit better about me in softball? By the way, seeing that I can leap like that.
Well, I don't know if I have you jumping over stuff. I'll let you know. But
Bob, just like the athletic ability overall, we almost got shut down by engineering. They thought that a sprinkler pipe, because we were hanging our peep off a sprinkler pipe that we were supposed to touch, and they were going to shut the whole thing down. And speaking of peeps, by the way, we got the two peeps here. I think we'll do this after the show. And I got the two peeps for the peep jousting. So what we'll do is we got the toothpicks in there. And we got yellow and blue. We could bet on them after the show. Blue is +150 right now, and yellow is -110.
Yeah, we don't do that around here anymore.
If you want to get in on the
spectacular
action,
yeah,
if you want to get in on the action, what we do, we'll put it in the microwave. We've got the toothpicks sticking out of the chest of the peeps. They'll blow up, and the winner is the one that deflates the other one with the toothpick.
How long do you put that in for?
I would do a minute, no longer than a minute. If you can't get it done in a minute, those are very, very pesky
peeps.
But
the angle of the yellow one looks like it has the advantage.
Okay. The angle of it? Yeah. We can move that around.
Yeah, because it's got a more... It's got a tighter angle, so it's going to hit first.
Okay, all right. We'll see. There you go. I mean, this is part of it. So then you would put your money on yellow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of spectacular, what the hell was that story the other day? What did Sid try to do over here?
It's a legend. It's
something,
a lawsuit.
With payola, something, yeah. Or something, whatever. I don't know.
I mean, just
was he
never
filling
ends,
in for
man.
You guys now?
Or? I know. I don't think he ever filled in for us.
Yeah, it actually. Your name was in the article.
I'm like,
of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you
again.
Right. Holy crap!
It's like every negative story.
I mean, so who did he fill in for, or who was he?
It said filling in for then Boomer and Carton.
Right.
That's what it said.
Is he right there?
But he, yeah, so he did there. But he never did that.
He did, though.
He might have, actually.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No!
He did fill in a couple mornings.
Yeah, well, this is this
spectacular!
In his defense, this is a lawsuit.
Alleged.
Here. Alleged.
It's all alleged.
Right. Right. Of course. So.
I'm not, yeah, okay.
Let's go to see what I did there?
Yeah, okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.